Waiting is the theme of the Advent season. And waiting for the coming of Christ. And we want to join in sort of an ancient act of lighting some candles each week as we mark our way down toward Christmas. People who wait. We wait for God to complete all that He has promised He will do in us and in our world. We wait for the full glory of God to be revealed. We wait for the hungry to have what they need and for wars to cease. We wait for people who are broken to be healed. But as we wait, we wait with a confidence. And we worship as we wait.
Sing with us.
Prophets promised would happen, and at the birth of Jesus, the first ones to see said that's what this is. We worship every week and every day and every moment with the awareness of Emmanuel, God with us. And so I invite you to join me in prayer. There will be a moment in the prayer where you can name a name. Maybe name a situation or a place where people need to know God is indeed with them, that they're not alone. So let us pray together. O Lord of life, you who were before we were, you who will be after we're forgotten by others, we give thanks. We'll never be forgotten by you. Oh Lord, remember those who hurt on this day, for those who are lonely, for those who are far from home, for those who have hard, difficult work to do, for those who are close to despair. Lord, remember those who are not sure how they will make it. Give them strength beyond their own strength. Lord, we pray for your church, that everywhere and in all times and all places we would be faithful witnesses to you, that we would notice and that we would respond in love to the promptings of your Spirit in us and around us and in others. Lord, hear now the prayers your people offer. Prayers for those we name in our hearts and those we name aloud. Lord, we thank you that you're always at work, bringing comfort, bringing courage, helping us know we're not alone. Oh Lord, our promise and pledge and assurance that that's how you are is Jesus. We pray together as he taught us to pray and to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Somebody said, you know, that's a great title for your sermon. I said, your sermons. I said, well, it's not talking about that. The first Sunday of Advent, which is today, a new season, new church year, I always, instead of looking back, it looks forward. So the scripture reading is usually one about how Christ is, not so much how he has come, but how he will come in completeness. So hear this reading from the Gospel of Matthew. It's the 24th chapter, the 36th verse. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Stay awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake. He would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh Lord, help us to always be awake to all you're doing, to your mercies, to your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. If it's kind of at your house like it is at my house, every so often we have to sync calendars. I guess we're still old school and we still kind of keep paper calendars. So sometimes Jill and I, we just have to sit down and bring your calendar. Have you ever noticed how many different calendars we operate out of? If you're in retail sales, today is the Sunday after Black Friday before Cyber Monday. That's how it works. If your life revolves around football, today is the Sunday after the Iron Bowl before the SEC championship game. If you are a school teacher or a student and I ask you tomorrow what day it is, you say, thank God, only 18 more days. So we can say hallelujah. If you work at NASA, I'm told there are even clocks in a lot of it's been 19 days and so many hours to the next scheduled launch of a shuttle. If you're a hunter, well, you may not be here because it's the second weekend of deer season, right? We all just operate out of different calendars. And we have these calendars that are calendars related to our work or related to our play. But Christians have another calendar that overlays all of that. Just like our Jewish spiritual ancestors before us for centuries, we have a calendar, a Christian calendar for... we know at least about since the year 500, Christians have sort of marked the years in a new way. And our calendar is different from sort of the secular calendar. Today is the first day of a new year. So Happy New Year, if I forget to say it. Happy New Year. And this calendar is different, but because it points to these deep spiritual realities. These deep spiritual rhythms that are going on. And that's what it marks. So it begins with Advent, four Sundays leading up to Christmas. Then you have Christmas season. Then you have Epiphany season. Then you have Lent. And then you have Easter. And then you have Pentecost. And then it will start all over. And what these seasons do is they retell the sort of old, old, wonderful story. And the story is this. The story is about how God is trying to get close to us and how God is trying to pull together a group of people who will organize their life with love and right relationships with each other. That's what God is up to. I think that's the whole storyline of the Bible. God's trying to get close and God's trying to get a people, a group of people, a community, a tribe who will organize their life around love, and right relationships. Think about the opening of the Bible, creation story, the second telling of it. God creates this animal out of the mud, and then God breathes into it. How could you get any closer than that, than God as close as our breath? You know, the story is about God trying to get close. And then the next big story is this story about... Abraham and Sarah, about how God is trying to get a tribe, a family, a community, a group of people that He will bless, and then their job will go to be a blessing to the rest of the world, to teach them about how God wants to be close to them. The story rolls on. They get enslaved down in Egypt. God just comes alongside them, sets them free, and He takes them out into the wilderness, and then He gives them a set of... guidelines, a code, a law, Ten Commandments, and all the rest about how they're going to live together as a community of love and right relationships. God is, that's just the story. Over and over, God trying to get close, God trying to gather together a people, a family, who will live in a certain way. Well, we get to the New Testament. And there, we Christians believe it kind of goes into overdrive. This story of God trying to get close and trying to gather a group of people. Our faith is that God wanted to get close, and so He came as one of us. He came as one of us. God entered human life. That's what Jesus is about. God in human flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And so at Advent, we begin to tell this story about how God wanted to get so close, He just moved in, made His home among us, pitched His tent with us, one of the translations says. We move on to Epiphany. That's the season after Christmas. And that's the time when we remember the wise men. Because, remember, they weren't Jews. They were these pagan astrologers that come from far off. And the idea then is that this thing God has done in Jesus is not just for a small group, it's for the whole world. So you got this idea, God trying to get close and trying to establish this community of love and right relationships. And Jesus comes along and he says, follow me. Join with me. Become part of us. And so, God close, God pulling people close to each other in a right kind of community. Lent, we move on, and God still tries to get close, but the people say, I don't think so. And he rejects, the people reject God, but God just keeps on. God just keeps on. God would rather suffer than give up his quest to be close. So you get to Easter, and Easter is when God will not even take no for an answer. Jesus is crucified, but this persistent, pushy God who wants to be close, he just comes back from the dead. You can't kill him and make it stick in order to get close. He wants to call them into a community once again. And nothing in life, nothing in death is going to keep God from being close. You get to Pentecost season, and that's when God comes among us. He tries it again. And he comes as Holy Spirit, this indwelling presence. And it's in every one of us that follows him. And it's between us. And it's in the church. So you have God trying to get close again. And in the church, this community that's been filled with God's presence, they begin to love different kinds of people, and they begin to take it to the whole world. So it's the story over and over and over in the Bible. God trying to be close. God trying to get a family that will live. It's God who will go through hell, resurrection story, or high water, Noah story, to get to us. Nothing can stop God from trying to get through to us, pulling people together into a family. And there is nothing that's going to stop God. Well, there's one thing. But there is one thing that will keep God from getting close to us. And that one thing is our desire not to have God close. There's one thing, our desire not to come to God's party. The only thing that will keep God from us is our unwillingness to have God with us. Our ignoring of His Spirit in us. God invites us to welcome Him, enjoy Him, live with Him, receive Him, join with His work of renovating creation, establishing this community of love and right relationships. But God is not a bully. God will not coerce us to do that. God wants our heart. And he wants it to be genuine and not forced. So, we can ignore God's love letters to us. We can resist all of God's flirtations with us. And our ignoring God disappoints God. But it doesn't stop God from doing what God's going to do. God is going to renovate the world, bring it to completion, whether I cooperate with it or not. God is going to have a family of love and of righteousness, whether I join in it or not. God's going to have it. I mean, that's the clear story. You probably remember that story of the prodigal son, the two brothers. You know, one gets his inheritance early. He goes home, goes away to a far country. He wastes the money. He comes back home, and the dad receives him, welcomes him back, and he throws a party. They kill the fatted calf, big barbecue, and there's dancing, and there's singing, and the older brother is out in the yard. He's not going to go into the house, doesn't want to go into the house, because he's not sure. He wants his brother back, and his brother did his daddy wrong, and just he's got all these reasons not to go into the party. So he's standing out there stomping in the dust and pouting. And the father comes out and he invites him in. You know, that parable ends with the father and the brother out in the yard. We don't know. It's open-ended. We don't know whether the big brother is going to go on in and get some barbecue and join in the dance. We don't know. But you know what we do know? That party is still going to happen. The brother can wake up to what the father is trying to do and join in, or he can just let it pass him by. But God is still going to do what God is going to do. And God's going to have a people. And God's going to get close to whoever will let him get close. Today we begin this new church calendar year. Four Sundays to Christmas. Advent means arrival, coming. Advent, it means the getting here of Jesus. And as we get closer to Christmas, we'll talk about the birth of Jesus, His first coming. But it also talks about Jesus' future coming with us, to be with us. Advent is when we remember that God is persistent. And what God has begun in Genesis, that He's going to bless the whole world, it's still unrolling. It's still unfolding. We're people that believe history's going somewhere. It's not just one thing after another. We believe God is going to finish what He started, that God is going to fulfill His promises. He's going to complete what was begun, what He's been trying to do from the beginning, to be close and to have a people. It's moving there. It's a renovation of the world. It's an extreme makeover. That's what God is slowly working on. And we believe God's going to accomplish it. So the only question is, will we join God in doing that? And will we have the fun of doing that? In today's Bible reading, Jesus urges us to stay awake. Pay attention. Stay awake. Jesus uses this image of a thief that invades a house at night. And he said, if you had stayed awake and knew when he was going to come, well, if you knew when he was going to come, you would have stayed awake and you would have taken appropriate action. I think what Jesus is pointing to, he uses this image, but it's really about the invasion of God. The invasion of God's kingdom into our world. God bursting into our lives, getting close, interjecting Himself, incarnating Himself. God is coming, invading the world with His love, invading the world with His mercy. And God is creating a new people, a people who live with love toward one another and toward God, and a people who establish right relationships. It's a new kingdom, Jesus says. And we can see it, wake up to it, rejoice in it, welcome it, and join it. We can get with the program, or we can ignore it. We can let it pass by, we can sleep through it. When I was a kid, I loved to watch The Twilight Zone. You remember the old black and white science fiction? Every so often, I think they're still own, or I guess people doing takeoffs and on it. Rod Serling, you know, this guy did these kind of weird science fiction tales. And if I got my homework done, got my bath, you know, if I was ready, I could watch The Twilight Zone sometimes. I remember one that fascinated me. It was called A Most Unusual Camera. You may have seen that. The show opens with these two kind of petty thieves, a husband and wife, Chester and Paula, and they rob this curio shop, this kind of junk shop, antique shop. And they figure they're going to get some stuff and they're going to sell it. Well, it turns out everything is just junk or fakes, except for this camera. There's this one camera there, mysterious camera. They take a picture with it, and when the picture comes out, it is not what they saw, it's a picture of what it's going to be in about 5 minutes. So it's a camera that predicts the future. And so Paula's brother, Woodward, escapes from jail, and he joins them. And he and Paula hatch this scheme about what they're going to do. He said, here's what we do. We take this camera to the racetrack. So they go down to the horse racetrack, and a few minutes before the race begins, they take a picture of the winner's board, and they see who's going to win the horse race. So you know what they do? They go to the window, they bet, and so it works. And so they take another picture, and they begin to accumulate all this money because they had this camera that would show them what was going to happen. Well, I'm not going to tell you what happens to them. If you ever saw Twilight Zone, it's got an interesting twist. But, if we knew for sure which football team was going to win, we'd root for them probably. And if we were betting people, we would bet on the winners. And if we knew in advance what stocks were going to rise and what stocks were going to fall, we would buy some and we would sell some. So we would position ourselves. If we knew for sure, our faith is that we do know where this thing's going. We do know about the future. We have been given a vision of how this thing is going to end. It's what the whole Bible is directing us to. It's about the world being healed. And it's about God drawing close to everyone eventually that will have Him. And it's about the creation of a community. And so, if we know how it's going to end and how this thing's going to come out, what is there to do except just go ahead and cast our lot with Him? To join with God in that future He's bringing about. Just to go ahead right now and live as if that is so. For example, we know that God has a heart for the poor. And that God has a special love for those who are hurting and suffering. That God has a special love for the oppressed. And so we just go ahead and love those people too. We know that God is bringing in a world of peace. I mean, it's all over the Scriptures. So we go ahead and get with the program now, if that's where this thing is headed. We go ahead and in our lives we practice forgiveness and peace as much as we can. We don't know when God is going to make this all happen, but we have no doubt that He will. And so we just wake up now, pay attention, because we understand and we believe that Christ has come, Christ is present now, and that Christ is to come. He came as Jesus, the baby born in Bethlehem. He is with us now, Emmanuel, so that there is no loneliness or suffering that we have, that we go through alone. He is with us. He makes His home in us. And Christ will come in glory. He will finish what He started. Christ was, Christ is, and Christ is to come. He gathers up all our lives, the past, the present, and the future in Him. I like what a Roman Catholic priest, Father Berrigan, wrote. He called it his Advent Creed. He wrote, "It is not true that creation and the human family are doomed to destruction and loss. Here is what is true. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. It is not true that we must accept inhumanity, discrimination, and hunger, and poverty, death, and destruction. This is true. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. It is not true that violence and hatred should have the last word, and that war and destruction rule forever. This is true. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. It is not true that we are simply victims of the power of evil who seeks to rule the world. This is true. To me, Jesus says, is given authority in heaven and in earth. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. It is not true that we have to wait for those who are specially gifted, who are the prophets of the church, before we become peacemakers. This is true. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. It is not true that our hopes for liberation of humanity, of justice, of human dignity, of peace are not meant for this earth and for this history. This is true. The hour comes, and now is, when true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. And so we begin Advent in hope. We begin with this hope that's based on God's promise of what He is going to do. And so with humility and with joy and with courage, we claim Jesus Christ, the life of the world, the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come. Let us pray. Oh, God of mercy, you are in our past, and we pray you'll be in our future. We pray we will be aware of your coming. Give us moments of clarity and vision in the busyness of the coming days. Help us to find quietness when we listen more than we talk. When we receive as well as give. When we breathe to your rhythm. Breathing in your goodness. Breathing out all that's not of you. And receiving all you would give us. In Jesus' name, amen. Go into the world in peace. Love the Lord. Serve Him. May the light of Him whose star is rising upon us bring us hope and bring us peace. In the name of the one we love, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen.